Good morning all and welcome to Laindon Baptist Church. At the time of recording this, it's snowing quite heavily and it's thick snow outside. So I'm only hoping that by the time we hear this on Sunday, it will be lovely and sunny with all the bulbs coming through for spring. So we'll start this meeting with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you for your love. We thank you for all the weathers that we have, Lord. Rain, shine, snow, sleet. Hailstones, hurricanes, everything, Lord, that comes from you, because you give us so much and we thank you for it. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be upon us this day as we meet together. Pray that you'll speak into our hearts. Pray that you'll touch us in the power of your Holy Spirit, that we can walk from here rejoicing in your love. And we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. We'll start this service with a short Bible reading, which is Isaiah 55, verse 12. You shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. In his verse, Isaiah compares the Israelites' return from exile in Babylonia to their exodus from Egypt. There would be great rejoicing and celebrations, and all nature would rejoice. The same applies to us as we put our old lives into the safe hands of Jesus, our Christ, our Saviour. Even nature itself will rejoice in our sins being forgiven as we lead a new life in Him. For salvation comes from Christ alone. We will now sing this song, In Christ Alone.
Oh,
Our main Bible reading today is being read by Peter. So over to you, Peter.
The reading is taken from 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 to 14 from the NIV version. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets of Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." And so they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And when they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariot and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over.
Thank you for that. Our next hymn is "All Things Bright and Beautiful." All the wonders of God are in this song. Michael Kemp will now bring us today's word from 2 Kings.
Good morning. This week we are moving on to the first half of the book 2 Kings, and shall be looking at the life of the prophet Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, a rich merchant. Elijah, when in a cave at Horeb, was commanded by God to go find his successor Elisha, Elisha as sometimes called, and to anoint Jehu king of Israel. Travelling from Mount Horeb to Damascus, he sees Elisha ploughing in a field and knows that he is God's chosen one. Elijah throws his coat over Elisha's shoulders, making him his adopted son. Elisha immediately left his oxen and ran after Elijah and asked if he could say goodbye to his mother and father. Elijah agreed and sent him back. As we read in 1 Kings 19, Elisha made a fire out of his plough, killed his 12 oxen, and made a feast for his family and friends. Elisha then joined up with Elijah and became his attendant. Some say ministered to him. This all took place about 4 years before the death of King Ahab. Remember Mike Trett's last week's sermon. Elisha, in contrast to Elijah, who was a Bedouin, only entered cities to bring God's word, was a civilized man, well dressed with his hair neatly cut, wearing a dress similar to a modern day Syrian's, and was used to living in built up areas. We did not know much about the next period until closely before the death of Elijah, about 8 years later. Elisha, during this period, was being taught by Elijah, and it is apparent that God waited until Elisha was ready to take over before taking Elijah into heaven. The two of them had lived at times in the presence of several schools of prophets. Elijah, knowing that his time was near, followed God's command to go to Bethel. Elisha wanted to go with him, but Elijah tried to persuade him to do otherwise. Elisha, being extremely loyal, went with him to Bethel, where he met the local prophets, who prophesied that Elijah would be taken from him. Elisha told them to keep it to themselves. Elijah then told Elisha that the Lord had commanded him to go to Jericho, and he was to stay behind. Elisha refused, and the two of them went to Jericho. There they met with the local prophets, who again informed Elisha that Elijah was going to be taken from him that day. Again, Elisha told them to keep it to themselves. Elijah said to Elisha that the Lord had commanded him to go to the Jordan. Elisha insisted that he went with him. This was a major walk for an aging man, about 24 miles in total, to Bethel, then on to Jericho, finishing at the Jordan, all completed within a day, a long way for a young person even. This was all witnessed by a group of about 50 prophets. Elijah, on reaching the River Jordan, rolled up his cloak, rolled it up and struck the water. The water parted, leaving a dry path for the two to walk across. At the other side, Elijah asked Elisha what could he do for him before he was taken away. Elisha asked for a double helping of Elijah's spirit. Remember, Elisha was Elijah's adopted son and was entitled to the eldest son's inheritance. Elijah agreed, as long as Elisha was able to see him as he was taken up. This happened. All these events are recorded in today's Bible reading. After Elijah was taken up, what a sight! Elisha was so in awe of the sight that he said, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Nothing happened again like this until Jesus ascended into heaven. Elisha rent his clothes in distress, rolled up Elijah's cloak and called out to the God of Elijah, struck the water of the River Jordan, which again opened up for him to cross on dry land. This proved to Elisha that he himself had received the Spirit of God. The 50 prophets that have witnessed these events bowed down at Elisha's feet, realizing that the spirit of Elijah had been passed on to Elisha. Elisha's own ministry starts at that point, stretching for about 60 years, extending over the reign of at least four kings, Jehoram, Jehu, Jehoahaz, and Joash. Elisha performed many miracles, the first after he returned to Jericho. The town's water supply was polluted, and the word that Elisha was a heir to Elijah had reached the population, and they had faith that he would help them. And as we read in 2 Kings 2:19-22, the men of the city said to Elisha, "Look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Bring me a new bowl," he said, "and put salt into it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring and threw the salt into it, saying, "This is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive." And the water has remained wholesome to this day, according to the word Elisha had spoken. Elisha then returned to Bethel, a centre of idolatry and Baal worship. But on the way, due to his close-cropped hair or baldness, was ridiculed by a large group of youths. Elisha cursed them in the name of the Lord. Two bears came out of the woods and killed 42 of the youths. Harsh justice, we may think. But Elisha was not responsible, as God actually did the act. At times we must feel the same over groups of youths in the street who may insult us, push us into the road, ignore social distancing and the wearing of masks. But things are so different now. What did Jesus command? That we should love our enemies, so instead of cursing, we should be praying for them. I find that very hard. But I know that Jesus loved me so much, he forgave my sins on the cross, so that I must forgive others. Elisha spent some time at Mount Carmel, living with and learning from a school of prophets there. He performed a miracle for the widow of one of the prophets, whose sons were at risk of being sold into slavery to pay her husband's debts. He asked for empty jars to be donated from neighbours. From one jar of oil came a never-ending pouring of oil, filling all available jars. Elisha told her to sell the oil, pay her husband's debts, and to live off the balance. Elisha spent most of his time in central Israel and Samaria, in a little town called Shunem, which he regularly passed through. A rich woman, who was very impressed with Elisha, asked her husband to make a comfortable room on the roof where Elisha could stay as he passed through. Elisha asked her what she wished for, and as she was childless and her husband was old, Elisha promised her a son. She was sceptical, but Elisha had promised her a son within a year, and it happened just as he said. Unfortunately, as the child grew up, it sounds that from the description in the Bible, the boy had a stroke and died on his mother's lap. She laid him on Elisha's bed and sent for Elisha, but due to religious festivals, she had to go herself with a servant. And as we read from the scriptures, Elisha asked her to lay his staff on the boy's face, but to no avail. Elisha returned himself to the house, lay upon the boy, and he returned to life. Many miracles followed. During a famine in times of great hardship, Elisha returned to Gilgal and cleansed poisoned food in the cooking pot, making it edible. A gift of bread was made to him. He commanded that it be distributed among the people. And despite lack of belief, there was plenty for everyone. Nahum, an army general, had leprosy and was seeking help. He asked his king, who felt insulted. Elisha heard of this and sent a message to him. "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and he would be healed." He didn't believe and was very angry. His servants persuaded him to wash and be cleansed. He was healed, his skin made as soft as a baby. Through this, he believed in the God of Israel, offered many gifts which Elisha refused. His servant Gehazi went and claimed this reward from Nahum and was punished by he and his family being struck down by Nahum's leprosy. That's some of the miracles that Elisha carried out in the name of the God of Israel. He also had a ministry of protecting the people of Israel from their enemies. Many armies attacked Israel, but they were defeated, but not by force of arms, but by God deceiving them into thinking that vast armies were going to destroy them. And they ran away, leaving the food and possessions behind. Israel suffered from many famines at this time, had plenty of food donated by these fleeing armies. Jehoash, king of Israel, came to the deathbed of Elisha and wept over him similar words that Elisha said as Elijah was taken up. "My father, my father," he cried, "the chariots and horsemen of Israel." Elisha died in his bed in his own house, but that wasn't the end. A year after his burial, his grave was opened and another body was inserted. But as soon as the body touched the body of Elisha, he was resurrected and stood on his feet. Unfortunately, all the works of Elisha are too numerous for one sermon, so perhaps later in the year we can look further into the works of Elisha and the later chapters of 2 Kings. So what can we learn from Elisha? He was a man of God. He trusted in God's Spirit to lead him in the ways of truth. He believed in God's power and was able to perform many miraculous acts. Many things that he did were repeated by Jesus. Many faiths have Elisha as one of their prophets. Apart from Christianity and the Jewish faith, the Muslims believe in him, and even the modern day Baha'i faith mentions him. Jesus promised us by faith in him, we can move mountains. I cannot recollect many mountains being moved these days. So what is wrong? If we have faith in our Saviour and his saving grace, miracles can happen. I have seen miracles happen and people are healed in the name of our Saviour Jesus. Our little church can come alive if we have faith. Let us believe, brothers and sisters, and we shall be amazed what God can do. We sing about it. Let's do it. Amen. Let's pray. Lord and Father, we thank you for Elisha. We thank you for his teaching to the people of Israel, which actually follows to the teaching of us, that we shall have faith, we shall believe, and God will do things. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Michael, for that word. Our next hymn is Above All Powers. This will be music only, as I would like us to read the words as we listen to the music and use them as a prayer, because we are saved by Christ alone and he is above all things. In our prayers and in our lives, we must endeavour to put him above all things, to spend time with him and to hold him in our hearts. This will be followed by our usual prayer time. I will leave some gaps so that we can pray for those on the prayer list which were sent with the Corona news sheet, and also for those we know that are in need of any kind. Heavenly Father, we just sit before you, all those that have been recently bereaved. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be upon them, for your presence to be with them. Just fill them, Lord, with your love. Make them feel your comfort, feel your love. We pray for those who are suffering from any form of illness, Lord. There's so many with coronavirus. We pray for speedy recovery and healing for these people. We pray for those that are suffering from other illnesses, from cancer, from just influenza, for anything, Lord, that is affecting their lives. Heavenly Father, we lift them before you for your healing hands to be upon them. We just bless them, Lord. We pray for people who are feeling lonely at this time, Lord. It's a difficult time to live and to be on your own. Just pray they will seek you and find comfort in your love and in your word. And may we, if we know anybody, get in touch, Lord, just a phone call, to help them feel that they have not been forgotten. We pray for all the countries in the world which are having problems with coronavirus, Lord, and haven't got the facilities to heal the people, let alone give them a vaccination against it, Lord. We pray, Lord, for your healing hands upon these nations. Pray for the facilities and to be there for the equipment that they need to deal with the virus. And affection will be quickly sent to these places and people will be quickly healed, Lord. We also pray in this country for those people who are still ignoring, Lord, the warning signs about wearing masks and keeping social distancing, Lord. We do pray that you will speak into their hearts and show them that you're not infringing on their freedom, but they are just being thoughtful to other people so they can have a free life, free from fear of this virus, free from fear of going out because they might be infected. So, Lord, we pray for these people. We pray for our government as they deal with this coronavirus. We pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to guide them, to lead them, to give them wisdom in knowing how to deal with it and what to say and what to do. Just lead them, Lord, in your ways. The outcome will be good. And for any other decisions they have to make, Lord, we just pray again for your wisdom. We pray for the countries of the world that have got other problems and strife, Lord, for various catastrophes that have taken place, for various wars that are still going on, for shortages of food, for shortages of anything, Lord. We just really pray for your Holy Spirit to blow across this world. Heal these people, Lord, in body, mind and spirit. Help them to find peace in you. Help them to see that you are the way, the truth and the life, and the light of the world, Lord. We now end this meeting with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today this daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our two final hymns, which we will sing one after the other, are Come On and Celebrate and We Shall Go Out with Joy. I chose these two as to be celebrate knowing that we are loved and saved by God. And we can go out with joy because Christ is in our hearts, and the leaves on the trees will clap their hands with joy. We say our final prayers. Thank you for coming to your homes and listening today. And Lord, we just pray that the Heavenly Father will be upon us, that he will touch our lives as we go about whatever we're going to do now, Lord. Just be with us, we pray, in all thoughts and in all words and all deeds. Thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we ask this. Amen. We hope to see you all on Zoom at 11:15. So, bye for now.